We value different things. Adults value different things than children, and children different than adults. People from different classes of wealth value different things. People from different countries value different things. People from different cultures. And today's message is called More Than Gold. What do you value? What do you value? Before we begin, I invite you to pray with me. Father in heaven, I pray that you would lead our minds and our thoughts to value heavenly things, eternal things. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The main idea of the message today is that what we treasure reveals what we truly love. And God tells us, he calls us to treasure heavenly things. There are many people who treasure fine jewelry, like diamonds, emeralds, pearls, etc. In many cultures, the value of a woman depends on the size of the diamond ring that her fiancé gives her, size of the diamond ring, or maybe on her wedding ring. It also indicates the amount of wealth that the man has who gives her the ring, as well as other things. Along with jewelry, the same can be said for the house. There are many large and luxurious homes all over the world, even here in northern Michigan. I'm sure you've seen some. Then you have very nice cars. Now, if you had to choose between the two, which would you choose, red or blue? If you only had two options, what would you choose? No, politics aside, let's leave the politics alone. This has nothing to do with politics. Right? So which color do you like better? I personally, as you probably know, I like the red color. I used to have a red one that got crashed and I didn't get to get a replacement. But anyways, I like the red color. There are some houses with garages that can accommodate quite a few cars. Then you have very nice yachts that you can live on, right? But I don't think I'd want to be in one of those during a violent thunderstorm, do you? Probably not. We've all seen what water and wind can do, right? Then there are people who have private jets taking off to different parts of the world. They come and go as they please, often in luxury, right? Then there are luxury hotels in different parts of the world that offer wonderful amenities that can bring peace and tranquility. And you know, none of these are evil. They're not. But none are eternal. None of them are eternal. Sadly, although many people acquire wealth through honest means and hard work and good stewardship and savvy investing, etc., there's always someone trying to gain their wealth dishonestly. And that's why most luxury venues also require some sort of high-tech security system. These systems can cost a lot of money to keep a watchful eye on whatever these luxury items are. Isn't that true? Then they need to hire competent and trusted security agents to operate the security systems. And so as good as all of these things are, they all come with a hefty price tag, don't they? Beyond what you pay up front, living rich is expensive. There's a cost to it, more than what you pay. And the more we possess, the more it possesses us. With earthly treasure comes, it comes with burdens, constant maintenance and repair, insurance, alarms, locks, cameras, anxiety about loss or harm, and the fear of thieves, inflation, and disasters. Now, as most of you know, a life with Jesus is very different. He says in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. He wants us to have an abundant life. Amen? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shares three short verses about what we should treasure, though. Found in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, this was our scripture reading. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. In another version, in other versions, it says, instead of rust, it says worm. And some buildings were made out of wood. And we know that wood can decay over time, don't we? Based on water, with bugs, termites, etc. It can damage the wood. And then he continues, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, Jesus wants us to treasure up heavenly things while we're here on this earth. If we value earthly things, all our affection, effort, and finances will be used to maintain or grow those things. But those things are only earthly. Those things can be stolen. They can be damaged. But heavenly things cannot be damaged or stolen. I want to share with you several paragraphs from the book Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings that describe what heavenly treasures really are. I thought this was very nice. She says, the instruction is to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. As for your own interest to secure heavenly riches, these alone of all that you possess are really yours. The treasure laid up in heaven is imperishable. No fire or flood can destroy it. No thief despoil it. No moth or rust corrupt it, for it is in the keeping of God. And she continues, this treasure, which Christ esteems as precious above all estimate, is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. According to Ephesians 1:18. In other words, the disciples of Christ are called his jewels. Who are called his jewels? The disciples of Christ are his jewels. His precious and peculiar treasure. He says, they shall be as the stones of a crown. I will make a man. A what? This doesn't have to do with a man, a person, a human. Okay? I will make a man, a person, a human being, more precious than fine gold. Even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. So Christ looks upon his people in their purity and perfection as the reward of all his sufferings, his humiliation, and his love, and even the supplement of his glory. Christ, the great center from whom radiates all glory. What do you think when you read those statements? you and I, every soul is one of Jesus' jewels. Storing up treasures, every soul that one brings to the feet of Jesus is a jewel or treasure stored up in heaven. What do you think of that, Jeff? To partake in the work of soul winning is storing up treasures in heaven. And we're permitted to join with him in the great work of redemption and to share with him in the riches he gained by his affliction and death. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonian Christians in this way. He says, "What is our hope or our joy or crown that I should boast? Are you not before our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? You are our glory and joy." He said in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19 and 20. All of Jesus' efforts, all of the disciples' efforts, all of Paul's efforts were to gain souls for the heavenly kingdom. And those were the precious jewels that are laid up in heaven, those treasures. Such is the treasure for which Christ commands us to work. Character is the great harvest of life. Every word and deed which through the grace of Christ kindles in any soul the impulse to rise up to heaven. Every effort which tends to the formation of a character like Christ's is equivalent to storing up treasures in heaven. Where the treasure is, there the heart will be. In every effort to benefit others, we benefit ourselves. He who gives money or time for spreading the gospel enlists his own interests and prayers for the work and for the souls to be reached through it. His affections go out to others, and he's stimulated to greater devotion to God that he may be enabled to do them the greatest good. At that final day when Jesus comes, when the wealth of earth shall perish, he who has laid up treasure in heaven will behold that which his life has gained. If we've given heed to the words of Christ, then as we gather around the great white throne, we shall see souls whom have been saved through our agency. Wouldn't that be great? I know a lot of you, perhaps in your lifetime, have done Bible studies with people. You've seen people give their life to Jesus. They've been baptized. They've been faithful members of the church community. And they too have won souls, done Bible studies, and seen others give their lives to Christ, etc. And it just keeps going, doesn't it? It multiplies. Imagine when Jesus comes and all the people that collectively we've reached out to and brought to Jesus all together, and seeing the people that they reached for Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It'll be absolutely wonderful. A large company brought into the haven of rest as the result of our labors, there to lay their crowns at Jesus' feet and praise him through the ceaseless ages of eternity. With what joy will the worker for Christ behold these redeemed ones who shared the glory of the Redeemer? How precious will heaven be to those who have been faithful in the work of saving souls. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are somebody's treasure. It's not just the people we reach. Someone reached us, didn't they? Someone took time to bring us to Jesus or bring Jesus to us, right? It could have been through a meal, Could have been through Bible study guides, literature. Could have been the Great Controversy, Steps to Christ. Could have been a little glow track. It could have been a bookmark from Traverse City Church. It could have been cherries. And it touched someone's heart so much that they fell in love with Jesus. Can you imagine? Could have been a sermon. Could have been an evangelistic series. It could have been someone listening to messages on Strong Tower Radio or 3ABN or the Hope Channel. How were you brought in? Could have been your parents from when you were a child. Could have been at the academy, in school, a teacher, a friend. So someone brought you to Jesus, and you are someone's treasure. And you brought someone to Jesus, and they are your treasure. Isn't that amazing? But ultimately, we are all Jesus' treasure. And it's not the treasure of the world, it's heavenly treasure. Treasure of the kingdom of heaven. There are many ways, as even Chester was sharing earlier, many ways to share the gospel with people in the community. Holy Spirit, as of late, has brought many interests to our church. Even Jim and Mary, I didn't reach out to them. They reached out to me. And there's others. And when they've arrived, we've loved them. It isn't to gloat about it. It's just the fact, right? It's just what happened. We had in April, when Jim and Mary were baptized, we had guest speakers, Steve and Tammy Conway. They told me that they've been to churches all over Michigan, all over the nation, even other parts of the world. And that Traverse City tops them all. I just want you to know that. I want you to know that. And I praise God for you, for each one of you, for the way you love on the people that come through the doors. It's felt and it's told to me many times. And so thank you for the love that you share with others. Sarah was baptized in May. Sarah Oaks. She flew up here. Because where she moved to, it didn't compare to the love that she felt here at Traverse City. And I praise God for that. And I'm sure she praises God for that. She's watching online right now on Zoom. And so I just want to say thank you for allowing God to work through you to show His love to others. So that people feel love here. There's another couple that I'm not going to mention. That they came here before I arrived, I don't know. And they weren't sure if they should come back because when they did come the last time, it was kind of cold. But when they came the next time, they were shocked. Because everything was so warm and loving, and so they moved here and they made this church their home. It's pretty amazing. Thank you, church family, for showing your love to those who walk in these doors. How many of you have experienced that love here? Amen. There's different ways to plan and invest So far, we've done things like MindFit. That's how Sarah came. We've done evangelistic series. That's how Alan came. He's not with us today, but he came through his wife, Lisa. Or she's passed now, but he came as a result of her coming, and he wanted to be baptized where she was baptized. And so he came for part of that series and then did Bible studies. Jeff and I had the opportunity to meet with him just over a week ago and had lunch together. It was real nice to keep that love and friendship going. It's very important. So befriending people, spending quality time with people to show them that you care, that you love them. Inviting people to prepare for baptism. Another way to plan is to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide people to connect with the church. So important. Now, if you haven't been involved in the process and you want to gain treasure in heaven, how many of you would like to participate in that, in gaining souls for heaven? Amen. So if that's you, I want to invite you to pray for souls. Say, Lord, who could I invite? Who could I bring? Who could I smother with love and lead a soul to a saving relationship with Jesus? Who could I reach out to? You might not be ready for it yet. You might be still in the phase of being loved, and I get it. But it's wonderful to share the love that you receive and pass it on to others, isn't it? So I invite you to pray. Pray, Lord, who can I show love to? Who needs that love? It could be a coworker, it could be a family member, it could even be someone you don't care for that much. Because they deserve love too. If you deserved it, or you think you deserved it, shouldn't you extend it to someone else? Paul in Colossians says this, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Once we have our hearts and our minds focused on the right things, our actions and our love will follow. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there's so many things in this world that distract us. One of them may be gaining wealth and living a life of luxury. But all things in this world will be destroyed by fire. But you've called us to gain and store up treasures in heaven. And those treasures will last forever. We've learned today that these treasures are souls for whom Jesus died. And those souls even include us. And you've called us to win more souls to your heavenly kingdom. So Lord, please send us your Holy Spirit to give us that desire and show us how to gain those souls for your kingdom. Thank you that you're willing to use us to work together with you to reach other souls for your kingdom. Guide us and help us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.